What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. My name is Adam. I'm your host. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about the recent release of Optic Basketball and how I think there could be some changes in the sports card industry based off of this specific product. So for years now, basically since the release, Prizm, since 2012, has been the king of the hobby. It's been basically the best card you can buy of any player. And I think that's going to stay true for sets from 2012 till 2017, because I think that there is a very interesting thing going on with the print runs of Prizm versus Optic, and I'm going to be discussing what I think is kind of going on in this video today. So as many of you probably know if you're watching this video, Optic Basketball is out right now, and I think one of the posts that I really liked over this last week that I saw talking about some commentary on the product is Slapstock's release, and I feel like this is a disclaimer I have to give every time I talk about a new product that's being released, is that you shouldn't be buying these cards right now. Like, if you look at Optic versus Prizm for LaMelo Ball, this is the Slapstock's post I was talking about that was really good. Right now, there was or at least one of the first Optic cards that sold was $200. And now you can buy a Prizm LaMelo Ball for $50. So you could buy four Prizm LaMelo Balls for the same price as you could get one Optic LaMelo Ball right now. Which, I think in the long run, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Optic versus Prizm. I think one of the things that I think we could see a huge shift on is that Optic one day potentially could overtake Prizm as the top set in basketball. I think between 2012 and 2017, so Jason Tatum's year, I think those are probably going to be the golden years for Prizm, because over the past, over the past history of sports cards, there's always been shifts in what's the most popular card and what's the most popular set, and there's no real reason, in my opinion, why Prizm is the top set. Like, obviously, it's one of the best products you can get. You know, it was one of the first Panini products that had the kind of the chromium finish on it that came out, at least for basketball and then football as well. But I think what I'm seeing, at least within sports cards, and as more people come in, this could change. But as more people come in, what I think is happening is we're seeing rules, technically, like unwritten, like there's the thing in baseball where it's like the unwritten rules, like, and with this, it's not even unwritten. They're written because it's, you look at the price of the cards. But I think Optic and Prizm being two of the top products could flip, because if you look at Prizm, I think what's happened is that the market has accepted that Prizm is the top product. So that's what's happening with the price. But I think if you look with people coming in, what I think could happen is that if these people just want to buy another product and there becomes more demand for Optic, then I think that could mean that Optic could end up being more popular than Prizm. I think one of the things that Panini has done that I've not been a huge fan of, honestly, is that they have kind of been, they've been squeezing the Prizm branding almost dry to this point. Like, every single, you know, product has like some sort of Prizm in it. Like, every Chronicles has Prizm in it, you know, obviously Draft Pick Prizm, you know, and they do this with a ton of other brands, but I think with Prizm, they almost just keep using it and keep using it. Like, last year when they came out with the blockchain cards, there were only digital cards except for two sets that they came out with that had physical cards, which I think, in my opinion, may have been a mistake the first time they did it. And then once they kind of got the product rolling, they decided they were just going to make a bunch of different changes. Because if you look at the rollout of blockchain, so the National Treasures blockchain cards were the first one that came out. And if you look at how much money Panini made on those card sales, because I think they did the Dutch auction for the pricing of them. If you look at how much money Panini made on those cards for basically doing the minimal amount of work, like selling the cards direct to consumer, like they essentially, that type of market was, you know, they were basically selling, because there was no, you couldn't be pulling these out of a pack, so like the National Treasures at least, and the same with, you know, Prizm was a little bit farther down the road, but like with the blockchain National Treasures cards, they were selling them direct to consumer, which I think the cheapest one, I think their checklist was about 100 cards. It was either 100 or 150. I forget off the top of my head, but it was about 100. And, you know, the cheapest card that sold was still in the $250 range, which I think was like, it was a soccer player. I forget exactly who it was, but it was one of the blockchain cards. And the most expensive, I believe, was the Kobe 1/1 that sold for $60,000. There was also a Zion. There was also like a dual Zion Jaw Logo Man. There was a, because these were all 1/1 Logo Man blockchain National Treasures cards. And I think it really showed that like Panini probably is going to, at least, well, now, maybe not at this point, but they may have started to look into more direct-to-consumer specific cards because of how much money they made on this product. So then flipping it back to Prizm there. Prizm was one of the next sets that they came out with that was a physical card. So they came out with only digital for a bunch of different sets. Like I think Immaculate and Flawless had only digital. But then Prizm had the Prizm had a physical card you could get. But then within that specific set, there was three different Prizm cards for each of like the players. Like I think that one, I'm pretty sure it was 150. Yeah, so it must have been 150, and I think there were 50 players on the checklist, and then each player had three different specific Prizm 1/1s that had some more sort of different style on it. And, you know, then you look at all of, like, the NFT products that they've been coming out with, and, like, most of them have to do with Prizm. Like, I think Panini is really, they're really trying to take the Prizm branding and suck as much of the IP out of it, honestly, as possible, which I don't necessarily like. And that's one of the main reasons why I think that, like, and I don't even necessarily think that's going to be oversaturated, but I just think that, you know, with if everything is Prizm, that makes the set not as collectible in a way, because if, like I said, if everything is Prizm, like, then how, what makes it collectible? Like, what makes it popular or hard to get? Also, the fact that, like, this year, this is honestly the longest, because I've been seeing videos and stuff on TikTok and Twitter of people still getting Prizm basketball in stores. Like, so I don't know if this just means that they've been printing it longer or what the deal is, but like I think there's going to be a ton of Prizm that's coming out this year. And I came out with a video a couple months ago telling you not to buy the Prizm LaMelo Ball card, which at the time I think was $150, and now it's $50. And I had a bunch of people being like, you shouldn't tell people what cards not to buy. And it's like, I'm just trying to save people money. Like somebody commented on the TikTok that I made about, one about the Donruss. Because the Donruss football was kind of one of the themes of my content last week. So like, I came out with this video and I was like, this is a big mistake. And people were like, or it's just collecting. And it's like, you know, and then there was some other person that was like,
yeah, I'm like, I bet you the people who bought the Mahomes cards early are really disappointed. It's like,
those two people completely miss the point. Like, the point I'm trying to make is that if you just wait a couple, like, months, you can get it for a fraction of the price. Like, LaMelo Ball hoops cards, those cards you can buy them for $5 to $10 right now on eBay. I've seen some of them even sell in the $1 to $2 range. So if you're really patient, you could pick those cards up for a dollar or two. And at the release date, they were $150. So it's like, that's one of the cards where it's like, you potentially lost literally all 100%, like 99% of your money if you bought it for $150. Now, if you bought it for $150, you probably were trying to sell it at like $50 or $60 rather than waiting until the bottom. But still, like, if you did and you still have that card that you bought for $150, then, you know, what ends up happening is you literally lost all your money. And it's like, you could have just waited and you could have picked up, like, you could have picked up, you know, 50 of those cards for the same price you paid for one. So it's like, just waiting. Obviously, it's adding the disclaimer or whatever. At this point, I'm going to say it every time a new product comes out, but, like, it's just something that I'm just going to have to say every time a new product comes out. Now I'm going to talk about the pop reports of these products, which I have on my laptop off screen here. So when I'm reading the numbers, just know that's where I'm reading them. So I compared the top players from the 2017, 2018, and 2019 draft class right now currently, because we obviously don't have accurate numbers for this year's class because PSA has been shut down. But here are the numbers for Optic PSA 10s versus Prizm PSA 10s. So for Tatum, which is 2017, there are 5,000, and this data is from this last week, so there's potentially that it could change, but the numbers wouldn't change drastically, but the numbers might be a little bit different. But so Tatum has 5,342 Prizm PSA 10s and 3,992 Optic PSA 10s. This is kind of where it gets a little crazy. So Luka PSA 10s, there are 17,851 PSA 10s versus 4,386 Optic PSA 10s. And then for Zion, again, another pretty crazy jump, which you can see in the print run, is 19,422 Prism PSA 10s and then 7,560 Optic PSA 10s. So my initial thoughts on that data is that I think we saw a super significant jump from 2017 to 2018 in terms of the print run. We saw a marginal jump from 2018 to 2019. I think we're going to see another marginal jump from 2019 to 2020. These numbers are pretty wild, and I think, honestly, it really makes you think, like, because if you look at the percentages, at least, of, like, the Optic versus the Prism, like, Prism went up from 5, I'm comparing Tatum and Zion now, Prism PSA 10 for Tatum went up from 5,000 to almost 20,000, so almost a 4x jump, but the Optic went from about 4,000 to about 8,000, so about a 2x jump. So there's a couple different thoughts I have here. One of them is, like, it's a chicken and the egg type situation, which is what I put in my Instagram, which if you haven't go follow me over there, make sure you do that. Thank you to everybody who commented as well, because that's how I know kind of what videos to make here. But so it's a chicken or the egg type situation. Like, are there more Prism PSA 10s because Prism is more valuable than Optic, or are there just less Optic cards that people are sending in? And I don't necessarily know. Like, I would say it's probably just that there's less Optic. But at the same time, I do think that, you know, those Optic numbers could eventually jump up. Like, this is what always happens with some of these cards that are, you know, considered undervalued, or, you know, there are not a lot of PSA 10s. Like, this is what happened with soccer specifically too. Like, soccer, the pop reports across the board for soccer were extremely low, but then once people started getting into soccer and they started picking up cards for extremely cheap and then sending them into grade for extremely cheap, you know, that's when you saw pop reports really jump up. Like, I think we saw the Mbappe PSA 10 2018 Prism card go from, like, around 200 to, like, around 2,500, so, you know, that's where, if Optic, which I think Optic did have a moment in Luka's year, where people realized that there was more value in the Optic Holo versus the Prism Silver. So you saw those numbers kind of start to get a little bit closer in terms of price, but I don't think that's what's happening with the base PSA 10s or the base Prism and Optic PSA 10s. So I just think that those numbers are showing that there is a potential for Optic over the next few years. Like, I would say Tatum's year is probably going to be one of the last years where Prism is far and away the best product, or it's the product that everyone's chasing. But once it comes to that Luka year, I think we saw a substantial jump in the print run. And I guess it's almost the same thing. It's like, is there more Luka PSA 10 Prism cards because they're more valuable, or is there just more of them compared to Tatum? And I think it's a combination of both. Like, realistically, the Lukas kind of started going up more significantly than the Tatums did. Like, back in 2018, when I bought a couple Luka cards, they were, I think it was $65 a piece is what I bought them for. And at the time, Tatums were still in the, like, $25 to $30 range for a PSA 10, which is absolutely insane to look at now. But, like, that's just the reality of what those cards were at the time. So overall, I think Optic right now, I wouldn't be buying any of the singles right now, just because with the product just coming out, the prices are always higher. So just wait. But I think that there is a potential where Optic could overtake Prism in the future for some of these newer products. Like, until Fanatics takes over between now and then for basketball, I think that there's a chance where we look at the 2018 to 2022, 2023 range, and people will say Optic is the one that you want to get, not Prism. And that's kind of my thoughts on that debate. And I think it's always going to be a debate which is the most valuable product, because it's just, you know, with the market always changing, like, who really knows what the future holds? But that's basically all I've got for this video. I want to thank you all for watching. Make sure you go like and subscribe. And if you learned anything or have any questions or any videos that you want me to do, make sure you leave those in the comments as well. Thank you all for watching. I'll see you in the next one.